Coming up next on Passion Struck, cognitive psychologist and author Steven Pinker said, "We are more afraid than we've ever been, and the world isn't more dangerous than it's ever been." Ever wonder why the world feels so scary, even though crime rates are dropping? From crime dramas like Law & Order to those constant, fear-filled news alerts on your phone, media has convinced us that danger is everywhere. This phenomenon has a name, Mean World Syndrome. It's making us more isolated, anxious, and fearful than what reality truly calls for. In episode 501 of Passion Struck, I'll dive into how media warps our perception of reality, and more importantly, how you can break free from this fear-driven narrative. Stay tuned. This episode might just change how you see the world. Welcome to Passion Struck. Hi, I'm your host, John R. Miles, and on the show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of the world's most inspiring people and turn their wisdom into practical advice for you and those around you. Our mission is to help you unlock the power of intentionality so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you're new to the show, I offer advice and answer listener questions on Fridays. We have long-form interviews the rest of the week with guests ranging from astronauts to authors, CEOs, creators, innovators, scientists, military leaders, visionaries, and athletes. Now, let's go out there and become Passion Struck. Hey, Passion Struck tribe, welcome back to episode 501. And let me start out by saying a massive thank you to each and every one of you who tunes in week after week, ready to dive deep, learn, and ignite change. You're the heartbeat of this show. And together, we're on this incredible journey to live better, be better, and to make a meaningful impact in the world. If you're new here, welcome to the movement. Or if you've been thinking about introducing the show to a friend or family member, and we so appreciate it when you do that. We've got you covered. With over 500 episodes in the catalog, it can be so tough to know where to start. That's why we've created episode starter packs, curated playlists to help you dive right in. We've organized them by theme, like top behavioral science episodes, physical and mental health, astronauts, military leaders, and women at the top of their game are just some of the categories. Head over to Spotify or visit passionstruck.com/starterpacks to get started. In case you missed earlier episodes, this week has been packed with fascinating conversations. I sat down with Dr. David Yeager, a leading psychologist known for his work with Carol Dweck and Angela Duckworth. We explored his new book, 10 to 25, The Science of Motivating Young People, and how we can better connect with and inspire the next generation. So be sure to check that one out. And let's not forget our 500th episode celebration with the amazing Lauren Handel Zander. Lauren, the founder of the Handel Group and creator of the Handel Method, is known for working with icons like Hugh Jackman and Questlove. In our conversation, she brought her typical no BS approach to help us cut through our excuses and take radical responsibility in life. If you haven't caught this episode yet, do yourself a favor and check it out. And as always, I truly appreciate your ratings, reviews, and most importantly, feedback. If today's episode resonates with you, please drop a 5-star review and share it with your friends and family. Your comments mean the world to me and to our incredible guests. And to that end, I wanted to acknowledge a new fan of the show who wrote in this week. Her name is Zena Wang, and she's a 27-year-old working on executive search. She previously worked at the University of Pennsylvania with Angela Duckworth and Katie Milkman. And she writes, "I found your podcast in an ad and have been binging the queue this week. Your discussions are full of wisdom, and you have such a fluid charisma with each of your guests. I particularly like that I have actionable takeaways for self-improvement at the end of the episodes, which I don't always get on other podcasts. I'm very much looking forward to going through the rest of your episodes. You have a new fan in me. Take care and keep up the good work." Thank you so much, Zena, for your comments. They mean the world to me. Now let's shift gears to today's Momentum Friday topic, a topic that's hitting hard in the world right now, Mean World Syndrome. In the late 1990s, a curious trend swept through many suburban neighborhoods throughout the United States. Residents in areas with very low crime rates, like Scottsdale, Arizona, began installing high-end security systems, acquiring large guard dogs, and adopting other extreme protective measures. On the surface, this behavior seemed excessive, even paranoid. So what was fueling this heightened sense of fear? The answer lies in the media, relentless consumption of fear-driven content. crime dramas, sensational news, and a 24/7 news cycle of anxiety-inducing headlines led many to perceive the world is far more dangerous than it actually was. This distortion of reality, where constant media exposure inflates our fears, is known as mean world syndrome. First coined by communication scholar George Gerbner in the 1970s, mean world syndrome describes the psychological effect that occurs when prolonged exposure to violent or sensational media leads individuals to believe that the world is filled with danger and hostility. In today's digital age, social media platforms have amplified this effect by promoting shocking negative news stories that stand out against more benign content from friends and family. The result? A distorted sense of reality and heightened anxiety about the world around us. But how does this syndrome work? What's the science behind it? And more importantly, how can we protect ourselves from the distortions created by media? In today's episode, I will provide you with answers to those questions and more, equipping you with the knowledge that you need to recognize this syndrome and protect yourself from its influence. Thank you for choosing Passion Struck and choosing me to be your host and guide on your journey to creating an intentional life. Now, let that journey begin. To understand how mean world syndrome operates, let's examine two of its key drivers: fictional TV shows and social media. One of the clearest examples of how mean world syndrome manifests is through popular crime dramas like Law & Order, CSI, and Criminal Minds. These shows often depict violent crimes, intricate investigations, and sensational courtroom battles. While these programs are purely fictional, the vivid and graphic portrayal of crimes makes it easy for viewers to blur the lines between entertainment and reality. The sheer frequency of violent acts portrayed on these shows can lead viewers to believe that violent crime is far more common than it actually is. Take Law & Order, for instance, where each episode revolves around heinous criminal activity that occurs in major urban areas. Week after week, viewers are exposed to gruesome murders and violent crimes. Though these shows are meant for entertainment, they can leave lasting psychological effects, shaping how people view the safety of their own communities. Studies have shown that people who watch these programs frequently may assume that violence and danger are part of everyday life, even if they live in peaceful, low-crime neighborhoods. The skewed perception leads to increased anxiety and fear, as seen in the case of the Scottsdale residents taking extreme security measures despite low crime rates. The second major contributor to mean world syndrome is social media. Platforms like Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram use algorithms designed to prioritize content that grabs attention and sparks emotional reactions, often fear, outrage, or sadness. These platforms amplify sensational news stories, pushing them to the top of users' feeds. For example, a single video of violent crime may be viewed and shared millions of times, creating the impression that such events are common even if they are rare. What makes social media particularly powerful is the contrast it creates. Users might see terrifying news reports or viral videos of crime alongside videos of their friends and family who are out enjoying everyday life. This contrast between ordinary life and sensational news intensifies the emotional impact of negative content. The more people who engage with fear-based content, the more the algorithms feed them with similar stories, reinforcing a cycle of fear and anxiety. This leads to what psychologists call availability heuristic, a cognitive bias where people judge the frequency of events based on how easily they can recall recent examples. Because violent crimes and shocking news stories are more likely to stick in our minds, people overestimate the likelihood of encountering these dangers in real life. During public health crises like the Ebola outbreak in 2014 or the more recent COVID-19 pandemic, social media was instrumental in spreading fear and misinformation. Panic-inducing posts led to widespread mistrust in public health officials, hoarding of supplies, and a reluctance to follow health guidelines. These examples highlight how social media exacerbates mean world syndrome by rapidly disseminating fear and false information, which in turn amplifies public anxieties. This distortion of perception is the essence of mean world syndrome. So this begs the question, where did mean world syndrome originate from? George Gerbner, a communication scholar who developed the Cultural Indicators Project in the 1960s and 1970s, first coined mean world syndrome. Gerbner's research aimed to investigate the long-term effects of television viewing, particularly violent programming, on viewers' perceptions of the world. His most notable contribution was the development of cultivation theory, which suggests that television has a cultivating effect on public consciousness, shaping how people think and feel about the world around them. Gerber's research revealed that heavy television viewers, those who spent several hours a day watching television, especially violent dramas, tended to overestimate crime rates and to believe that the world was actually more dangerous than it really was. His study showed that the more people watched violent TV shows, the more likely they were to believe that crime and violence were rampant in society. This phenomenon, which he termed mean world syndrome, illustrated how media could distort reality and heighten people's fears, even when statistical evidence showed that crime rates were actually decreasing. At its core, mean world syndrome taps into the way that humans process information. The availability heuristic plays a crucial role here. Because violent and sensational content is more memorable, it becomes more available in our minds when we think about the world. In the mid-20th century, television was the primary driver of this phenomenon. However, in today's digital age, social media platforms have taken over, amplifying these effects on a much larger scale. Garber's early research provides a foundation for understanding how media shapes public perception, but the advent of the internet has expanded the reach and intensity of mean world syndrome, making it even more relevant today. I do have to point out, it's crucial to acknowledge that Gerber's classifications were not universally accepted as definitive. While his work was groundbreaking, it faced criticism from scholars who argued that his work oversimplified the impact of television and did not account for other influencing factors, such as personal experiences, education, and social environment. Despite these criticisms, the core idea that media can shape our perceptions of reality remains a powerful and relevant concept. The rapid evolution of media technologies and the proliferation of digital content only underscore our need to understand how media influences our worldview. While Gerber's original framework may require adaptation to address contemporary media dynamics, the fundamental insights of media's impact on perception continue to offer valuable guidance as we continue to navigate the complexities of the digital age. To understand why mean world syndrome has such a powerful effect on our perception, it's essential to look at the psychology behind it. As mentioned earlier, the availability heuristic is a cognitive bias where people judge the probability of events based on how easily examples come to mind. Media plays a central role in this bias because violent and sensational events are more memorable than everyday experiences. For example, seeing a single viral video of a violent crime on social media can make people overestimate the likelihood of encountering such an event in real life. Additionally, confirmation bias comes into play. This is the tendency for people to seek out information that aligns with their pre-existing beliefs. If someone already believes that the world is dangerous, they're more likely to consume media that confirms that view. Social media algorithms further exacerbate this by feeding users content that reflects their previous interests and fears, locking them into a cycle of reinforcing negative perceptions. Behavioral science also shows that repeated exposure to fear-inducing content triggers our brain's fight-or-flight response. This is the body's natural reaction to danger, where adrenaline surges and we become hyper-aware of threats. However, when we are constantly exposed to alarming content, whether through TV or social media, this response becomes chronic. Over time, it can lead to learned helplessness, where individuals feel powerless to change their circumstances and accept that the world is not a dangerous place. The combination of these psychological mechanisms, availability heuristic, confirmation bias, and constant activation of the fight-or-flight response explains why mean world syndrome is so effective at distorting our perceptions of reality. Understanding the science is crucial for combating its effects, an essential aspect of understanding the factors influencing the spread of mean world syndrome is examining it within the context of artificial intelligence. AI technologies such as deepfakes, images, audio, and videos that mimic real people are now so advanced that they're barely distinguishable from the actual content. These AI-generated manipulations can present fabricated information in a highly convincing manner, making it increasingly difficult for individuals to discern the truth from falsehood. For instance, deepfakes have been used in political campaigns to create false narratives or to frame individuals for crimes they didn't commit, significantly impacting public opinion. Deepfakes and other AI-driven content can create misleading narratives or manipulate public opinion by presenting false information as if it were genuine. This capability not only amplifies the effects of Mean World Syndrome, but also poses significant challenges to media literacy and trust in information sources. As these technologies become more sophisticated, the potential for them to exacerbate fears and spread misinformation grows. So, what are the implications of Mean World Syndrome? It doesn't just affect individuals by fostering fear and anxiety. Its impact reaches much further, shaping societal dynamics, influencing public opinion, and altering collective behavior. The following are some key implications that illustrate how this phenomenon can influence our social fabric and day-to-day interactions. The first is the erosion of trust in communities. As people consume more fear-based media, they become more suspicious of others. This erosion of trust can lead to social fragmentation, where individuals become more isolated from their neighbors and communities. For example, suburban residents who have been influenced by media-driven fears may install security systems, avoid social gatherings, and withdraw from public life, reinforcing their distorted perceptions of danger. In the case of Scottsdale, Arizona, where crime rates were low, the heightened security measures taken by residents reflect this glaring mistrust. Fear-driven narratives also have a profound effect on political attitudes. People who view the world as inherently dangerous are more likely to support punitive law and order policies, favoring harsher punishments and stricter policing. This can lead to increased polarization, as fear is often used as a political tool to sway voters. Politicians may exploit Mean World Syndrome to push for policies that appear to the public's exaggerated sense of danger, even when the actual risk is low. Over time, this can result in a more divided society, where fear-based decisions end up driving political discourse. And then lastly, on an individual level, the constant exposure to fear-inducing media can have serious mental health consequences. People who are bombarded with negative news stories may experience anxiety, depression, and a pervasive sense of hopelessness. This can manifest in behaviors like avoiding public spaces, excessive worries about personal safety, or, in extreme cases, paranoia. Over time, these feelings of fear can erode an individual's well-being, making it difficult for them to enjoy daily life. While the effects of Mean World Syndrome can be pervasive, there are practical strategies that individuals can adopt to counteract these distorted perceptions driven by media, fictional TV shows, and social media algorithms. I'm now going to go over three actionable strategies that can help listeners break free from the fear-based worldview, each tied to an earlier case study involving crime dramas and social media content that I covered earlier. The first is to diversify your media consumption. One of the root causes of Mean World Syndrome is the overconsumption of a narrow, fear-based media diet, as seen in our case study with fictional crime dramas like Law & Order and CSI. When viewers are repeatedly exposed to violent content, it warps their perceptions of reality, making crime seem more prevalent than it truly is. These shows offer a distorted view of everyday life, suggesting that violent crime is an omnipresent threat. To counteract this, diversify the media you consume. Rather than solely relying on crime dramas or sensational news, seek out more balanced content that highlights positive aspects of society or solution-focused stories. For example, complement your viewing habits by watching documentaries, educational programs, or news outlets that prioritize in-depth reporting rather than sensationalism. This applies to social media as well, since social media algorithms are designed to prioritize attention-grabbing, fear-inducing stories. Take active steps to diversify your feed. Follow uplifting stories, community-focused content, or educational resources. By exposing yourself to a wider array of media, you can counteract the negative impact of fear-driven narratives and regain a more balanced perspective of the world. Another contributor to Mean World Syndrome is the constant barrage of media, especially on social platforms, where algorithms push sensational and negative content to the forefront of the feeds. As mentioned in the case study, social media platforms often amplify violent or shocking stories because they provoke strong emotional reactions, which increases engagement. When users see alarming news mixed With personal content, the negative stories seem more intense, creating a distorted view of the world. To mitigate this, practice mindful media consumption. This means being intentional about how and when you consume media. Instead of passively scrolling through news feeds or binging crime dramas, set specific times for media use. Limit your exposure to negative content and take regular breaks from social media. Studies have shown that reducing screen time and consciously managing your media habits can significantly reduce anxiety and stress. Additionally, avoid checking the news or social media right before bed or first thing in the morning, as this can either affect your sleep or set the tone of your day. Instead, begin and end your days with activities that promote calm and positivity, such as reading, meditation, and exercise. Mindful media habits can prevent the overwhelming sense of fear and helplessness that comes from constant exposure to sensational content. And perhaps the most effective way to combat mean world syndrome is to engage directly with your local community, rather than relying on media portrayals to shape your perception of the world. In the example of Scottsdale, Arizona, residents took extreme security measures despite living in a low-crime area, largely due to exaggerated fear that was stoked by media. This disconnect between perception and reality highlights the need for firsthand experiences that ground us in the truth, instead of isolating yourself or relying on media portrayals to inform your view of the world. Make an effort to engage with your community. Attend local events, volunteer for community service, or simply interact with more of your neighbors. These real-world interactions provide a direct positive contrast to the fear-driven narratives seen on TV and social media. For instance, if you feel fearful about crime in your neighborhood, consider participating in local safety initiatives or community gatherings that help build trust and foster a sense of togetherness. By developing relationships with those around you, you are reminded that most people are good-natured, and the reality of your environment is likely much safer than what the media might suggest. Community engagement not only counteracts the isolation that comes from mean world syndrome, but it also helps rebuild trust, increases social connections, and helps you develop a more accurate understanding of the world. These firsthand experiences can directly challenge the distorted perceptions that are created by media, providing you with a healthier, more realistic view of society. So I've discussed a lot today. Let me wrap today's episode up for you. Mean world syndrome underscores the media's profound impact on our perception of reality. Whether through fictional crime shows like CSI or Law and Order, or social media algorithms that amplify negative content, our worldview can be distorted to make the world seem more dangerous and hostile than it truly is. This distorted perception not only fuels individual anxiety as well as fear, but also erodes community trust, heightens political polarization, and damages our mental health. However, by controlling how we consume media, we can mitigate these effects and reclaim our perspective. These strategies outlined, diversifying your media consumption, practicing mindful media habits, and engaging with your local community, offer concrete steps to counteract the fear-driven narratives that shape our worldview. By applying these strategies in your daily life, you can develop a more balanced and accurate understanding of the world around you. It's time to step back from the distorted reality painted by the media and reconnect with a grounded, realistic perspective of the world. Take a moment to evaluate your own media habits. How much of your worldview is shaped by what you consume on TV or social media? Start diversifying the content you engage with. Practice mindfulness in how you watch and consume media. And most importantly, re-engage with the real world through your community. By doing this, you'll not only reduce the anxiety that comes from fear-based narratives, but you'll also regain control over how you see the world, a world that's often much safer, kinder, and more positive than the media might have us believe. Take action today. Reclaim your view of reality and start living with clarity. Thank you for joining me today. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love you to share it with someone who could benefit from these insights. Remember, we're all in this together. And by spreading this message, we can help each other find peace in an often chaotic media landscape. Join the conversation on social media using Passionstruck and Mean World Syndrome. You can find the videos from today's episode on YouTube. And if you're looking for advertisers, deals, or discount codes, head over to passionstruck.com/deals. Your support, for our sponsors directly supports the show and means the world to me. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at John R. Miles. Curious to find out where you stand on your Passion Struck journey? I've created a quiz that reflects my ideas from my latest book, Passion Struck. It's a quick and easy way to discover and gauge your progress. Head over to passionstruck.com to take the quiz. It's just 20 questions and takes only about 10 minutes to complete. Don't miss this opportunity to learn more about where you are on your path. And before we wrap up, I wanted to let you in on what's coming next on Passion Struck. In our next episode, we'll be talking about the dangers of cynicism, which goes really well with today's theme, and how it erodes our trust in ourselves and others. I'm joined by Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki, who will share insights from his new book, Hope for Cynics, and explore how we can shift from cynicism to hope and rebuild trust in humanity. You won't want to miss it.
I am in no way saying that what we should do is adopt an unthinking, credulous form of trust of everybody. But what's happened instead is that we've entered this phase of politics in America, and as you elegantly put it, all around the world, where our default is to just disbelieve and mistrust every piece of information and every source of information if it doesn't exactly match what we believe already. And that is extraordinarily toxic for our ability to recognize common ground and accomplish any goals together. It's extraordinarily useful for people who really are untrustworthy.
Remember that we rise by lifting others. If you found value in today's episode, please share it with someone who could benefit from our discussion. In the meantime, apply what you've learned today. Live what you listen, and we'll see you next time. As always, live life passion-struck.